is a very, today we're talking about keep it in the family. Got a microphone there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're talking about keep it in the family, and Minister DJ did a very good job of that. This initiative was put together actually by our junior church, and I just thought, you know, like a good old church, we need to learn how to piggy bank on anything good, right? If you know that something good is happening. I was told many years ago, they said, don't ask God to bless what you are doing. Do what God is blessing. And so the moment they shared the idea and the vision of what the kids are going to be enjoying, and I just thought, we have to be part of that, you know. So we came out with this program, which we are today. So at the end of this program, we're going to be blessing our children's piggy bank. I'm believing God that God will use our children to be the financiers of the gospel. That tonight, God will tie those little hands of theirs into a covenant of prosperity. Amen. And you know something about covenant? You know something about a covenant? A covenant is an agreement. Mm. And you see, so what that means is that there will be something upon the lives of these kids today that will bring them into a realm of prosperity. You see that? So it doesn't matter what they lay their hands to do, they will be blessed. Does that make sense? And that is the kind of thing I'm asking God to do here today. And that's what we are all putting our hearts and faith towards. That as they come out with their little piggy bank, that represents their future prosperity. And I will lay hands on them, we will bless them, and I will say forever, their heavens will be open. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to be looking at savings, and we've called it how to keep it in the family. Yeah. We will look at three aspects. We'll look at a scriptural perspective. Then we will look at the practical aspects, and the practical aspect will be divided into two. There will be how to save money. How to save money. You know, and the savings we are talking about is not how to put it in the bank. We're looking at what to do to have enough to put in the bank. That's what we call that's what we're talking about. What to do to have enough to put in the bank. Right? Because for some people, I don't know about you, but I've been there before, where there is really nothing to put in the bank. I've also been in a position where I was earning six figures, right? And there was still nothing to put in the bank. Did you understand that? So when I was on £12,000 per annum, there was nothing to put in the bank. Then I went on to 40 to 70,000 pounds per annum. There was still nothing to put in the bank. Then I was on six figures a year, in fact, multiple six figures, and there was still nothing to put in the bank. So that then tells me that money does not equal savings. And plenty money does not equal savings. So it means that the art of saving is a conscious thing that you must have. You must learn to put aside for your children and your children's children. Does that make sense? Yeah? So don't be like me. Right? So, and I hope that today you'll be, what we're going to be sharing is the consciousness of that. You need to be conscious. Saving should be a project. You should be savings minded. Right? You should be, I'm not saying stingy minded. So some people are very stingy, and they think that being stingy means that they are saving. They mistake stinginess for savings. But even for the guy, the Bible says that there's a guy that is tight-fisted. Yeah, he holds. Say at the end of the day, he doesn't have anything. But then there's also the liberal soul, right? At the end, he has much. So we're not talking about stinginess here, but we are talking about having enough to put aside for a rainy day. Yeah. Okay. So let's look at the Bible first, so we understand that God is interested in your prosperity. For me, prosperity means reserves. That's what I mean by. So for me, I see prosperity as reserves. If you don't have reserves, then you are not yet prosperous. Yeah? So after you have given all you have given all you can give, and being able to give the way you want to give, and you still have reserves, that is prosperity. So we measure nations by the amount of reserves they have. You understand? In fact, that's how you determine the first world, second world, you know. So there are some worlds. I don't know whether they are third, fourth, fifth, or sixth world, you know. But they eat everything they have. They consume everything they have. So you, when they measure them, and those nations, they may have a lot of wealth, but they don't have the art of savings. Mm-hmm. So what then happens is that they consume, and so it's a spirit.
Yeah.
They consume all that they have. And so when you measure their reserves, there's nothing in the reserves. So we say, wow, this nation is not a, it's not a bright nation. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So equally, as a family, right, you should, after you have spent, you have eaten, you are full, you have given, you should have reserves. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So God is interested in your prosperity. So we'll start with Genesis 26 verse 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. So they equated reaping to blessing. So the Lord blessed him because what? In the same year, he reaped a hundredfold. Genesis 32, 39, 3. Write your scriptures down. Now, his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. I pray that your hands will be prosperous in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, 18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Yeah? So God is interested in your prosperity. And we can go on and on and on and on. Joshua 1, 8. This law, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you shall be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way, you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Amen. I pray you'll be successful in the name of Jesus. And one more, and then we close. I mean, next, we close this chapter. Yeah. 2 Chronicles 31, 20. This, you should go meditate upon these scriptures. Go meditate upon them so they can become your lifestyle. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of the Lord's temple and in obedience to the law to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly. So he prospered. Amen. Amen. You will prosper in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You will prosper in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I love the scriptures. I love it. I love it. I love it. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich. Eh? Can we read that together? One, two, go. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. I don't know how you define rich. Some say rich does not mean money. Whatever it means, I want it. Isn't it? So whether rich means health, it didn't say healthy. It didn't say healthy. It said, but the blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to talk through about 15 things to look out for when it comes to savings, how to get those savings, the extras, how to mine the extras and keep them in the bank, and then also how to make more. Does that make sense? Yeah? All right.
Okay. Voilà. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you say happy birthday? I just thought maybe you didn't say it. All right. So, you know, sometimes when someone wants to talk to you, think, oh, they're coming from the position of having a lot or much. Pastor said, oh, I had a lot and we didn't have any in their accounts. But I would like to say that when we came to United Kingdom, we came with 60 pounds. We came 50. With only 60 pounds?
50.
50 pounds and a toddler and a pregnancy. So we didn't come from the position of having a lot to having a lot. It was a position of having nothing. And there were a lot more weeks than the money that comes in the week. And I remember, I can never forget, and I've said this repeatedly in this church, the very first salary that Pastor got, because I was heavily pregnant, so I worked for only a couple of weeks and I had to stop working. And PE came in, and the very first salary he got, we needed, our life depended on that money. Paying rent, we were living in a room in a house in East London, and the landlord that gave us the house to stay in did not know that we were a family. So I was the only one. He just thought it was me and a little boy. So I had to wear multiple layers of clothes to hide the tummy, because if he knew there were going to be two children in that room, he probably would not have given us the room. And then PE then came a couple of weeks later. Now, so we had a 60 pounds a week room, that we had to pay for every week. And then we had a little boy to feed that we can't explain any other thing to about why he can't eat, and a wife that wasn't working. And then he came and then he got a job straight away because God is faithful to his word. And the very first week, he earned £150. It was a lot of money. And that lot of money we took to the bank. Alas, I mean, it didn't make it to the bank. It made it to the post office. Because, yeah, somebody said, ha, I just didn't know better. So in my head, it was easier to open a post office account when we came than a bank account. So I had a post office account. And PE said, oh, let's take the card, let's take the check to check for cash. Because there were lots of checks for cash in the area we're living in East London then. It was in Leighton. And I said, no, we don't need check for cash. We can just walk into the post office. They will charge us a lot for the money. We need every penny the money could bring in. And we went into the post office to go and get check for cash. I believed that we could do check for cash in a post office. I didn't know it wasn't so. And P, you know your pastor, he kept asking questions. Our house to the post office is 5 minutes walk. I promise you, without exaggeration, P asked that question 15 times. Are you sure? When we get there and we give them this check, they will give us money. So by the, I think about the 15th time, now this is me heavily pregnant with a toddler, and he was asking this question, do you know what? Just let's take it to the check for cash. It's okay. Let's not bother going. You know, when I don't do stress that much. So when he goes on and on, I say, it's okay. Let's just do it. Let's just go and do your check for cash. He said, okay, as long as you're sure. I said, I was sure. Stood in the queue. It was a Saturday. Stood in the queue for a long time. Eventually got to the front. Didn't ask the question of the post office man and gave the check to the post office man. And the moment he collected the check and he stamped it, he said, thank you very much, 21 days time. I know. Now, we didn't know anybody in this country, so nobody could bring money, bring food. We have no family here. You are our family here. We had no family here. So we didn't have anybody to rely on or call a friend or phone. You know, there was nobody. What are we going to say to the 1.5-year-old kid? No, the two-year-old kid that hasn't eaten. No, the heavily pregnant woman that has nothing to eat. So when they said 21 days, he looked at me like he was going to die, but he didn't say a word. And I looked like, oh God, I am dead, you know. And then we walked back home in eerie silence. We got back home. Home is one room in a house, so we can't avoid each other. We sat down on the bed. There was no chair. And we're looking at each other. So what are we going to do now? He said, I'm so sorry, I said. But after that, we didn't know what to do. But God, who is ever faithful, one more time came through because a pastor friend of ours heard that we were in town, heard and got our address from somebody, totally, just randomly, decided that morning that they were coming to visit with us. And they brought food. So I am saying to you that your God can provide for you, but it's your job to manage what he provides. That's the whole essence of all of that story. You know, I have to use a lot of story to tell you a little. So let me tell you one of the ways that we have employed. There's not a lot of things we're going to say here that we have not employed, that we don't use in our own family. So one of the very, very first one was a while ago, we decided that we were going to start saving more money. And, I think it was Speed that just came one day and we opened our cabinet. And we realized that we had, I kid you not, in excess of 10 different Kellogg brands. Different ones. Maybe the child started eating this, they don't want it anymore, and another one, and another one. So many brands of the same thing in the cabinet. And we just decided we're going to get rid of them. That we're not going to shop until we finish what was in the cabinet. That particular month, we saved £120 on our food shopping. If somebody said you will save £40 every week just by eating the things you have in your freezer or your cabinet, you won't believe it until you do it. Sometimes you already have a lot and it's already in your house. Don't forget that we do. It says, what did you have in your house? What did you have in your house? Because when you're looking to save money, God cannot bless you with more if you don't manage what he has blessed you with. So one of the very easy ways to save money is when you get home, make up your mind, you're going to clear out your freezer. Some of us have freezers, have food that have met food, and there's no space in the freezer anymore. And then you also have a fridge freezer as well while we're at it. And there's no space in any. And we still go shopping every week. And you still spend £60 every week shopping. Maybe, just maybe, that same item is already in the freezer somewhere and it hasn't expired yet. So that's a very good one for you because you can start it straight away and save money for your family.
address the debt. So we call that freezer raid. Mm. Yeah, so raise your. I mean, it's funny enough, every now and then we still do that.
Still do it.
So again, savings is not I always say savings is a spirit. So always make sure that we still do it now. You know, so because I don't believe that I don't believe God likes wastage. But sometimes we are a very wasteful generation. So we buy because we want to buy, not because we need to buy. Mm. So we still up to now. We don't make sure that you employ creativity. Finish everything in your house before you go shopping.
Yeah.
All right. So we also have a very nice way of calling it in our home. We call it Mama's Kitchen. So sit down and eat from Mama's Kitchen. Yeah. Mama's Kitchen means that you use creative means. So it could be a game. No, let's make sure that we eat everything in the house before we go shopping. So do it. Even if you are earning a lot of money today, yep. Get your kids thinking about no wastage myself.
Yep.
Get them thinking. Get them to have a no wastage mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if they see you waste things, right, they will grow up to be wasteful.
Yeah.
And they will waste not just your money, but they will also waste your time.
Yep.
Yeah. So the second one is. Address if you have debt, address your debt.
Yeah,
yeah? It's interesting. There are people who still believe that if I ignore it long enough, it will disappear.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, especially when you are struggling. So address your debt. So if you are, you can be earning a lot. You can be earning 50k, 60k a year and still be in debt.
Yep.
Because so do not be comfortable with debt. Some people are. We are a debt nation. You know, so everything is debt funded, debt financed. So the borrower will always be the servant of the lender. And so every time you find yourself in debt, right, you put a spirit, a limit on yourself and on your children. So work hard towards being debt free. So even if you earn a lot of money, make sure you employ this method to pay off your debt and keep in the bank.
Yeah.
So it's a project for yourself. Does that make sense? Mm. So the fact that you can live in a house, you drive a car, you have a good job does not mean that you are wealthy. So if debt is your fuel for running, then you still got a problem.
Yeah.
So don't put that kind of spirit upon your children. Okay. Put these savings towards getting rid of debt.
Yeah.
Use what you have, what we just talked to, get rid of debt.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Another thing is that we do this every 3 months. Check service providers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check service providers. Always. The economy is designed to give you and take from you.
Yeah.
So check your service providers. Mm. I know that many of you already do this, but I personally don't believe why you should have two phones. I don't know why you should have two phones. You know, I always say jokingly, don't have two phones. Yeah.
Except if you're doing business with one, you're making money with one.
Unless if the phone is paying for itself, everything must pay for itself. Mm. So compare your service provider every 6 months. Right, every 6 months we go through and check our insurance policies, check our insurance, and maybe they've slipped something in that you don't know.
Yeah.
Your phone records, make sure you just go through because it makes you a faithful custodian.
Yeah.
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 So the same way you master earning, master saving.
Very true.
All right. So go through, be the CEO of your life, go through your bank statements and then query everything.
Yeah.
Also audit every transaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it tells you where your heart is.
Mm.
Audit every transaction. Where is your life going to? What are you spending on?
Yeah.
You know, where we come from, right? Where we come from, okay. I guess it's everywhere, anywhere in the world, anyway. Just for those who are watching, I think that's where they come from. They are rogues. They're not rogues, but just they say your money in the movies. That's
the
better.
Money,
yeah, the movies. They say your money or your life, isn't it? So they always equate money to life. Yeah. So some say my money. So always make sure that you audit. See where's your life. We can tell. Show me your bank statement, and I'll show you where you are going to.
Yeah. I was just going to say something about that. We do this ever so regularly. We actually do. We have a spreadsheet in our family, and we look through the bank statement and put different amounts we spend on a monthly basis in different columns. So, for instance, for the sake of argument, say entertainment. So, entertainment includes all of our telephone bills, television fees, and all those things. And every so often, maybe once in 3 months, sometimes once in 6 months, depending on how busy we are. We actually sit down, I rechat the whole thing again, look at what we're paying on each of them. And I'm almost always, it's an afternoon's job of an hour and a half. I promise you, you will claw back anything from 70 to 150 pounds a month. I promise you. And that is, consider that per month for a year. Just for that afternoon work. Now, the problem is many of us think we're so busy, we don't want to do it. You're so busy, you don't want to answer the phone call that will reduce what you pay or make that phone call. But you are losing money. You are draining life. You are draining the resources that God has blessed you with. And if you're careless with it, God is, it doesn't reward carelessness. God does not reward carelessness. You could have been on this tariff and just stay on this tariff, whereas there's another tariff that could be better for you. You're not even using the services, yet you're paying for it. I remember there was a time we were just auditing. I don't know what happened, but it slipped into a year and we hadn't looked at the spreadsheet. And I was auditing and I realized that Pastor had like 3 life insurance. I had 2, only 1 life, 5 life insurance.
I'm that important. I'm that important. What is going on? Just in case anything happens, insurance 2 will kick off.
And those are personal ones. That's different from our company one. That's different from the, come on, how many lives? If you're not careful.
I got 3 lives.
You just
the second one I see here, the other one is in the office.
There we go. And the worst part will be for most of this is they're not expensive, so you don't feel it. But multiply it by 12. By 10 years,
yeah,
now it becomes quite expensive.
We did an audit one time, and I realized that I was paying, is it Modoc? Sky? Modoc is there. I mean, that guy was just, he just sat down. I mean, I was funding his private jet. How many of you fund his private jet isn't it? Yeah,
very
just
true.
Imagine, it's, you know, £60 times 1 million people, and you're wondering why he's, mean, that, just think about it.
Even £10 times 1 million people. I remember saying to the family one day, what are we doing here? Are we, we're not entertainers. We're not entertaining anybody. Look, you got Sky, this, that, and you don't even have time to watch any. What is the point? It's £60 if you have Sky Sports, correct or incorrect? Minimum. But you don't even have time. So you record. You don't have time to watch any, so you delete. And then you pay £60 against next month. What is the point?
I think it wasn't until just recently, this year actually, this year towards Christmas. Yeah, that I felt that, okay, I think I've earned enough to afford Sky.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love playing golf, but I just didn't think I qualify to have Sky in my home. To sit down and watch golf on TV, funding, clapping for those who are making a fortune for their children. I didn't think I've done enough. I didn't think so. So sometimes it's good for you to be realistic about your life, and always ask yourself, always make sure that you qualify yourself to earn some things.
Yeah.
Right? Make sure you qualify. And I do that a lot. You know, I do that. I ask myself, do you really think you've worked hard enough to enjoy this comfort? Do you really think you've worked hard enough to enjoy this comfort? All right, so I ask myself that question, and we ask ourselves those questions, and then we use that mindset to go through. If not, you just probably be working very hard. It's like trying to pour water in a basket full of holes, and that's a curse.
It is a curse.
In Hosea, it's a curse.
Yeah. For you people that don't pay their tithe.
Yeah, well, so yeah. So for you to work so much and then you chuck half of your money. You work so much, but you use most of what you earn to make somebody else comfortable. Mm. That's a curse. It means that it's like you're earning into, the Bible says you have holes in your basket. You understand? All right. So number 6.
I was going to say, could you get it for free? Do you know that there are many things we buy that you could get for free? There are many things to buy that you could get for free. So why do you have to spend another tenner? The problem I'm really trying to tackle is not the big money. It's the small money that becomes big money. There are many of us that come from the third world where our observation or our value, the value we put to money, is not the value that the people that are from the first world put to money. I remember, I said this jokingly the other day, a friend of mine who owns a post office, and I went to say hello to her. And while I was there, the first lady came and, her bill was £7.99. And she was haggling and waited so long for a 1p. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? It's only 1p. And another person came and it was 2p. And I remember getting home and saying, my life, these people are so poor. And then PE said, but that's why the value of their money is high. It's not that they are poor, it's because they put value to what they have. The problem that many of us have, we've put no value to the 10p and to the 5p and to the 2p. When I first came to England, I stayed with a family. The family I stayed with, there was a time that, I'm not going to say we, they were so poor. I'm not going to say we were so poor. I mean, I didn't have, but I wasn't poor. That the wife would be crying because the husband could not afford to buy her McDonald's kiddies meal, and she would just say she wants kiddies meal, which is 98p, and we'll be looking all over the house for 2p. And all of a sudden, when we find 2p, you would think we found £200. The level of joy, just because we couldn't find that 3p, or the disappointment of not finding it and then finding it. Which means that 2p that you're throwing away, that 2p you're allowing your child to throw away, or it is only 5p, I don't want it, we don't want that, you don't want that. The value of that money, if you continue to let them do that, 5p 100 times at the end of every year is something. Multiply that by the number of times they're going to spend in your home before they grow up, probably at least 18 years. The number of 5p's they've thrown away that they could put in a piggy bank. Put value to money. Don't just spend the little money buying this, that, and the other. A lady, one of the young ladies in this church, she came visiting me, and she said to me, oh, I've got this, the juicer that many of us buy, all this, the juicer, I don't know. You know them, don't you? I said, oh, I got it for free. So on Gumtree, people do dispose of things for free. So that blender you're looking for, it might be free somewhere. Just come pick it.
Just check before they go and kidnap you.
I've heard some stuff about. So basically,
how they use carrots to lure you. And,
what I'm saying in effect.
Go and looking for a free blender. they end up blending you.
That's what we think that doesn't make us go for the.
Just disclaimer.
Very there careful. Are so many things you don't
go missing because of blender.
I remember.
Did you hear a story about a guy who went to go and buy a car? Had to go and buy a cheap car on Gumtree.
And then, what happened to the car?
What happened to him? There was no car.
But there are things for free.
Okay, yeah.
And it doesn't. Yeah. All right. You are very happy to. When we're driving.
I need to tell them that because they go missing.
You won't go missing in Jesus' name.
Okay, in Jesus' name, you won't go missing.
Say amen quickly. No, you can't go missing. But what I'm saying is that thing.
Where did she go to? Anger.
Do you know there are so many things we buy that we don't need to buy?
I'm talking about.
That's free. What I'm saying.
It's good. We traveled for free for a long time. So let me tell you what happened. So you can do this, okay? So it was purely by accident. So I was feeling big. I subscribed to
a golf magazine.
Fortune magazine.
Fortune magazine.
Yeah, I actually subscribed to Fortune magazine. So unbeknownst to me, these guys, they sell databases. So they naturally assume that, of course I belong there. They assume that anyone who subscribes to
Fortune magazine,
you must be. It's customer profiling,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You must be wired in a particular way, so they believe that you're probably earning this
X
kind
amount of money.
Yeah. So I just missed after the, at the end of my
subscription,
at the end of the month, I took the money out, and Fortune and The Economist. All of a sudden, I started getting invitations.
Yeah, offers.
Yeah,
free offers for holidays.
So they sold this database to this travel company.
The posh companies.
And they would just call me out of the blue and say,
Would you like to come for 5 days? Would you like to come for seven days?
Go to Spain on holidays. I said, man, you kidding? Try to kidnap me or what? And I told them, we wrote that law. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I said, no, seriously. You want to go to Spain? I said, yeah. I said, no, they have this, all I need to do is to go out and then spend some time.
And then they will
market to me if I don't mind. Just they want to pay me to market to me. So they flew us out to Spain, gave us a car, for three or four days. Yeah, and it was at Marbella, you know. That was how we got introduced to traveling. I mean, it was all free. And it was for free for a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, different companies.
Places, yeah.
All right. So, of course, eventually I canceled my subscription from The Economist and Fortune. But till today, you know, then, back in the day, like they say, they give you the offer you like a black card, you know, credit card. But you will go and use your credit card to be buying Louis Vuitton bag and but that wasn't my case. We had an investment mindset. We'll share some of them with you today. So do that. So try to apply to for these things and get some free. You can buy things free.
Mm-hmm. Get things free.
Get things free. Get
I wanted to talk about subscription, and because P talked about subscription and membership cancellation. Many of us are subscribing to things that you will never use. And then you pay yearly, monthly, quarterly to your gym.
Gym, well, I do use the gym.
In the mind.
Yeah.
In the mind.
Well, I prefer the mind gym.
The beauty of mind gym is you don't pay for it, but this one, we pay for it.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk for another day. But if you have things that you are subscribing to and paying for, maybe you don't need them. Maybe you need to actually look at your wallet, bring out all your cards.
It's FOMO.
See membership that are still active that you've not used even once.
Fear of missing out. My friend has a membership. You have a membership too.
Yeah,
you go get a membership as
it's
well.
It's not a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money, but it's something. And the thing about most of these things is they don't come back to ask you, do you want to renew?
Exactly.
They automatically renew.
Well, that's something else. It was just recently. In fact, I had all these domain names I have registered. So I told Mr. Boston to please log in to my and then remove everything from. That was part of my audit
clearing
as well.
Up.
I also remove everything on auto renew and auto auto. So remove everything. I said so. Let the name expire and then ask me, do I want to renew? Mm. So I can say yes or no. And since then, a few have come up, and I just, you know, say, no, don't renew this. No, yeah. I don't need this. Mm. So please, what we are saying is that make savings a project.
Yeah.
Keep your lifestyle the way it is. Go savings hunting.
Yeah.
And let's starve the market and starve the big cats.
In fact, if it's possible, make it a project. Ask yourself, how much can I save this month from savings?
Maybe we should all do that. Maybe we should
everybody
all do
should
that.
Go for it. And then the person that wins the most, you know, comes back and gets announced. It'll be great for you.
The one who wins the most will share what they have with the rest of us. Okay, all right. Okay. All right. Maybe we should do that.
Maybe we should
form a savings club, right? And then we'll say, okay, let's see the one that will save
the
most.
Set a target per week.
Oh my God. They'll come and beg you. Mm. Can you imagine if we all collectively save like you know, I don't know, like
if you save
1 point something million.
Each?
Can you imagine?
That's a bit much, isn't it?
You reckon? Yeah. Do you know how much? Do you know what they're spending on? You don't know what they're spending on? You think it's a big much?
If they're spending 1 point something million or
something. No, collectively. All of us. All
then
of
I'm
us.
Doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because by now I should have told you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, avoid stress spending. Avoid stress spending. There are people that just spend because you are not happy.
Is
the same thing. It's like you're not happy, you eat.
What is that?
Comfort eating. And that's the way they make it sound as if it's something very nice. Oh, I'm
comfort,
just comfort eating. Because when
what
you hear comfort, it tells your brain, easy, relax. So comfort eating, no. So that's stress spending. You're stressed out, you eat, right? Or you buy. So that is the height of indiscipline.
It is indiscipline.
Yeah, so don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? So you need to be in charge of your life. You're the economic finance of your life. Mm. So we've talked about when we were going into the properties many years ago and we're looking for capital, one of the things they taught us then was always joking. They asked us to negotiate our rates. Basically, they're asking us to increase our line of credit. So they wanted us to increase our line of credit by increasing our credit card balance so we can use the card to buy a house. That was his strategy then.
In those days,
don't do it now. I don't know what's operational now. But I thought, no, they are joking. And then they gave us a script to read. They gave us a script to read, to call our credit card companies and tell us that we should say these things to them. And they were, you know, that night I increased my credit card by £10,000.
And reduced
the rate
on it.
And then I plugged that card to a house. You understand? So all the cards I had, I linked all each of them to one house, sitting pretty. Yeah. So that means that if you are struggling with your debt, don't just with debt, for example, or credit card, don't just say, well, this is the way. So call them and negotiate.
Yeah.
Right? So move your cards from zero. I'm sure most of you probably know this and you do this already anyway, but it's good to just have it on the record. Mm-hmm. But again, move your card, negotiate with them and say, well, you know what, I'm paying this. What percentage are you paying? I want to pay less. If they say no, then request to speak to their manager. And then just be, you know, holy stubbornness, you know, and then and see what you can get out of it.
Yeah.
Right? But the bottom line is that do not be comfortable with debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to also talk about reducing your monthly, your weekly shopping bill. And it sounds really simple. But when you were able to afford, there was a time as a family, we're not any more than this in number, we're still four then, all our weekly spend was £10. Why did it increase to £80 a week? It's still the same four amounts. Or mouths. So how come your monthly or your weekly bill is creeping up on you and you don't know? I believe very strongly if you do a list before you go into a shop and you stick to it, you don't buy impulsively. Impulsive buying is one of the worst things that could ever happen to you. Because I have the cash, I'll spend it now. That's indiscipline, like Pastor said earlier. So as a family, make up your mind, particularly the ladies, when you want to go shopping. The guys don't fall prey of this too much, but ladies do. Two for the price of one. So you buy two of what you need only one of, and that other, the second one that you never needed anyway, got rust in the cabinet and you threw it away. So look at what you're throwing away every week. It's more than what you brought into the house. Every time you go out, you bring more, and then there's no space in the cabinet anymore, and you still buy more. But why? Impulsive buying. Right. I went to the shop to go and buy maybe something, I don't know, fruit. Or sugar ran out, and you came in, and you could smell bread. Oh, we've got to buy bread. All of us, oh, I can see the chocolate. There's a reason why they put them where they put them, and there's a reason why you can smell
for indisciplined the fake people, for those smell. Who are not disciplined.
So it's just sheer indiscipline. Write a list, stick to the list. Now, these things, they're easier said than done, but if you make up your mind as a family, say every week we're going to save, you can genuinely plug your shortfall every month. Some people earn £1,000 and your monthly spend is 1,200. You don't need to scramble every month. Your money doesn't need to finish on the 20th if you can sit down and just go skinny for a bit.
All right. So one more on that, and then we go on to making money. Well, I know we know you don't like making money, so we just made that only for 5 minutes. Review your brand loyalty.
Mm.
Yeah. Brand loyalty.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody told me one many years ago. It was Audi. No, it was I think yeah. It was Porsche.
Is it Lexus?
Porsche had an Audi engine.
Huh.
There was a time I think Porsche bought.
Rolls Royce and Jaguars.
Okay, so which one is it? Rolls Royce and BMW. Those
really?
Are
that one's I
wouldn't
that.
Mind. I wouldn't mind any of those.
I knew the Rolls Royce and Jaguar.
Yeah. Then there was one that has, I think it was Audi that has a Skoda engine.
Oh, I remember. Yes.
Yeah.
Skoda had an Audi engine.
I mean, look at that.
But because of the label, you buy it cheap.
Sorry. So you see that? So Skoda had an Audi engine. Can you imagine that? So sometimes, right, you need to question your brand loyalty.
Yeah.
Don't be sold. Yeah? Because some of you, you know, you just, it's label. I think it was, Mr. Bosun that was getting me something one day in the shop, was getting me some pair of trousers from the shop. And I said, we're there. Let me see the size. So it was a photograph. He took a photograph and he sent it to me to look at. And so looking at it, and I saw the size. Right on the side, it said made in Bangladesh. And I'm thinking, my goodness.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
But if they send you a pair of trousers from Bangladesh, say, me. from Bangladesh. No, not me. And it was a top brand.
Yeah, your top brand is from Bangladesh.
Can you imagine
that?
Really ask yourself, so why are you paying? Why are you paying for the logo?
What's the point of buying?
Don't get me wrong. I'm not a poor guy. I'm so you know. I don't. I mean, rephrase. I'm not teaching you poverty, but I'm saying manage yourself.
Yeah, be wise. Yeah, be wise.
You and your household. You are a corporation.
Yep.
So why are you funding people's private jet? Right? Why are you funding people's private jet? And from head to toe, you are all designers made in Bangladesh. But you won't buy from a Bangladeshi website.
You will say
why are they fooling you? If they tell you it's from Bangladesh, you said no. You say, no, I'm bigger than that. But you will buy Ike from Bangladesh. Yeah? You understand? So why? Why are we being fooled? Why are they fooling you? And you work so hard. There's nothing to show for it. But the money is in your house. Why are you buying jet fuel for someone? Why are you buying jet fuel for someone? Because of compulsive nature of spending. I was shocked the day I heard they read in the magazine that Bill Gates' kids don't have a mobile phone until they are 16.
Nope.
And your kids at 11, they have an iPhone, they have when they cry, just give them an iPad. Isn't it amazing the way the rich and the poor raise their children?
The rich
man's kid, right, doesn't have a phone until he's 16.
They don't waste. That's why
the poor man's kid has a phone at 11.
And they have two phones.
And they have two phones.
Oh, they have the latest phone.
Exactly. All right. Tips. Right. So we save. Go save. Let's do that saving game. I don't know how we'll coordinate. Maybe Pastor will coordinate when she crosses 50. She will coordinate it for us.
I crossed 2 days ago.
No, not in my eyes.
There we go.
Nah, man. I'm in my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. When am I crossing again?
Right now it's frozen. All right. So, this is quite a lot.
Let's make some money. Let's well, we're not going to go through the 15 ways of making money. We're just going to talk about a few things that we think you can practice.
Okay. Which of these 15 can they practice?
Let's start with your spares. Learn to rent out your spares. So, I have and there are different spare things that we have. But let's talk about a lady I know who, she's got two little kids. And she rents out one of our rooms to do for the people that do international studies. So she does that. And then in her spare time, she teaches them English. Their family never pays money for their international travel every year. That's where they make all the money from. So they don't save to go on holiday. The goal is to earn extras to be able to go on holiday. And they use their spare. They rent out their spare garage. They rent out that room. And then for those number of rooms, and they're all, people are always looking for where to stay. Oh, it's dangerous. I don't want anybody to stay in this room and that room and the other. I get it. How about your garage? Is that dangerous too?
I mean, interesting. Talking about spares, look at how someone came up with Airbnb. I mean, just look at that. I mean, that's normal to a 10-year-old company.
Yep.
You know, you go on holidays, and your room, your house is empty, turn your home. I mean, just look at that. So can you imagine that a business model can come out of spares? Yeah?
So you can make money from your spares because they're already there and you're paying the bill anyway.
Learn something. Learn and teach something.
Yeah.
This is just for you to note. Do you know people make more money from teaching than actually practicing?
Doing.
Yeah? So most people make more money from teaching.
Training.
The problem we have is that we're not confident in ourselves. But if you've learned something and you're on step two, you are better than the guy who is on step one.
Yep.
And you can make noise about the step two that you know. And many of us, for example, we are so good at so many things, but we just don't like putting it out there. So learn a skill, if you are good at anything at all, especially these days of social media, you know?
Yeah.
If you're good at anything at all, teach the world what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah? Go get a free website. and just put your YouTube is free, right? And just how many of you are on Instagram, right? And how many of you are addicted to Instagram, but you're not selling anything. You're not publicizing yourself. I know you just wake up every morning and you are scrolling like your hair is on fire.
Looking at somebody else's life. Nah.
And then you scroll for so long, then you get depressed. I say, look at my friends. They're always happy. But that friend's only happy 1 hour of the day.
And he snapped himself and put him off.
On Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So I wish, that's my prayer. I really wish that as a pastor, I get to see everybody's talent and skills and knowledge. I wish you guys would just break this fear barrier, get a free website, everything that you know. I mean, Pastor Paul and I did that recently. We just thought, you know what? Yeah, we have we 50s now. Yeah? When we are in our 70s now, what are we going to teach our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? I mean, these kids, our kids in church are already great. What are we going to teach them? So we came out with mentoringplatform.com. I would say, everything we know about life, we're going to dump it on a website as an asset. So we can do the same thing.
Yep.
Be confident. Do a video. Many of you know so much. And many of you, how many of you here love reading? I mean, just look at that. Ty, what's his name? The guy called Ty, yeah? Ty Lopez made a fortune from sharing what he read in other people's books. Google him. You can't even join his club. 10K. Sharing what he read in other people's books because he knows that most people don't have a time to read. So, this is what I read today. Review a product. I know a guy who makes a fortune just by, in fact, she's a British lady. She makes a fortune by trashing other products. She'll just do a video and then, listen, this water is neutral. Yeah, I don't quite like the shape, you know, right now. It's slipping out of my hands. You see, look at that. So I wouldn't recommend this. But I will recommend this other bottle. And that was it.
And there's affiliate commission attached to that.
So you can do, there's so many things, but just put yourself out there. Start with what you are confident doing. Just start little. Start with you. Your phone is there. Put yourself on the map. Let it not be. That, God forbid, when you go to heaven, nobody ever knew you lived in a time of social media. Yeah.
I would always say, if you're going to do that, stay consistent. Consistency is where we fall flat on our faces. You try something, you start it, they can't find you doing it 2 days' time. Don't do that. Stay at it. Oh, but nobody is buying. It doesn't matter. Stay at it. Because the time will come, people will come and buy.
Do what you love to do.
Yeah.
Right? If you find something you love, get a free website, right? Free website. And then just write down what you like. You say, well, but I don't like writing. Then do a video.
I don't like anybody seeing my face. Make it a voice
How many of you have seen people on YouTube? They go on. I mean, there was a teenager I saw the other day talking about makeup. About 13 million views. My goodness.
Yep.
From her room.
And her phone.
So do the same thing. The Bible says that let your light so shine before men. Yeah. And it says that you are a city set upon a hill.
Yeah.
But we're not going to win the world by just hiding. We're not going to win the world by losing our confidence. You are good at the little you are good at, you won't share with anybody. Share with the world. And start small.
Yeah.
But stay consistent.
Yeah.
One video a day. Yeah. One video a day. Don't allow people use you and your time to fund their lives. And then the day their profit drops, right? That's the end. I mean, you know what's going on now. The whole world is putting pressure on Russia. And they said that the ruby has dropped.
Finished.
You know what that means? People are going to lose their jobs. The ruby drops, everybody goes.
Lose their jobs. But at the end of the day,
nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about you.
Yeah.
So take ownership. I read the story of a gentleman who loved taking photographs. And so he would just take photographs, he would publish, so he started publishing his own photographs. And one day, somebody from Huffington Post saw his image and hired him as a contractor. And that's where he made his millions, taking shots for Huffington Post.
He read to me the other day the story of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Was it Arnold Schwarzenegger? Or Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
Stallone. I read it to me too. Yeah. It's such a, it was a very moving. Could you share that again?
They know the story.
Just share it again, just in case they don't. Please.
You know the story of Rocky, didn't you? Don't you?
Exactly. The guy himself. Yes. How he wrote the Rocky.
Rocky, yes. Ah. How he sold his dog.
How he sold it.
I mean, look at that.
Okay. Now you know. If you don't know what we're talking about, just raise your hand quickly. Let him tell you the story. Thank you.
I thought it was a very inspiring story.
So
he was a failing actor. He was a failing actor. Nobody couldn't get a job to be cast on a movie set. So he wrote this script about Rocky, and they were looking for producers.
He was looking for producers to produce the film.
So they told him that they were going to pay him $250,000, right?
To buy the
script. He said he wants to sell the script and act in the movie. They said no, but he's not a known name. Doesn't even have any history, any experience. But they kept raising the bar. So we'll pay him $1 million. Eventually, he said no, he's not going to sell the script. Eventually, they bought the script and they paid him less, right, to act in the movie. But today. Yeah.
So somebody is there that wants to buy what you've got.
The thing is, you already have something. It.
Exactly.
You have it. And those of you who love to read, do a book review. And that shoe you're going to wear, review it. Have a review YouTube. Say, well, Pastor, I'm shy. Then write a website. Yeah. Have a review blog where you just, it's your heart. It's your stage.
Yeah.
It's your stage. I don't know why people, do you know there are people today, headhunters, who thrall the internet looking for people who are doing something extraordinary? Mm. In fact, let me even shock you. Do you know that there are certain roles, right, and I knew this with my kids, that even if you have 8 A-stars, they will never take you because you don't have any extracurricular activity.
Yeah.
You know that. I mean, you guys are from here. You know that. Yeah. So God has given you a voice. God has given you a voice. You've got to shine. Mm. All right? Online surveys. But
we'll say that today. I wanted to say something very quickly. Yeah. If you have children, one of the great ways of introducing your children to the art of making money is helping them start really young. Let them have that. We talked about let them save money. Teach them the art of saving. Teach them the art of making money.
Mm-hmm.
I remember very clearly when our kids were young, when our son was in grammar school, I think he was in his first year, he loved cookies. So he would go to Morrison's, they would buy a pack of cookies, 5 of them for £1. But every other boy loves cookies. And they don't go to Morrison's to buy cookies, but they want his own. So he started selling one cookie for 50p. So he would buy for £1. And then all of a sudden, I just realized it was beyond one pack. He would buy like 5 packs. And he starts selling one cookie. So every week he makes money and he increases the amount of money he made until he didn't have time to do it anymore. But that's cookies. Mom, please, when you're going to the shop, let me buy 2. This is the money. So 2 packs of cookies, for him is only £2. There are 10 of them. He sells at 50p each. He's already made £5. So they understand the art of making profit. I've mentioned the story of our little girl when she will buy a dress or something. And then she has won it already, and then put it on eBay. The one that just blew me out completely is the dress she bought from, what's her name? Atmosphere. Primark. You will say, oh, nobody wants Primark. She bought the dress from Primark for £5, wore it, put it on eBay. Somebody bought it for £10 or something like that. How does that even work? Used Primark shirt. So what I'm saying is that even your children can learn the art of making money. Yeah. Keep it really simple for them, but let them do it because it will pay them in future.
But you see, but your kids will only do what you do.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, what multiplies is what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, what multiplies is what you do. If you are all talk, you can't make your children do because you are talking. No. Yeah. Talking does not reproduce.
Yeah.
What reproduces is the spirit of doing things. Mm. So let your kids see have things going on for you other than your 9-to-5, because it tells them we have taught our kids to create an alternative economy for themselves.
Yeah.
But you do it, you teach it by doing it. Not by showing. All right. I think we have 5 more minutes. I think we should stop that. Sell old books online. You can do that. Look, sell old books online. There are people who love books, they were talking about a village somewhere in UK the other day, and the village is known for the amount of old books. And I'm thinking, who buys old books?
Many people buy old
books. That's when I found out that there are people who actually fly into UK because of old books.
Yeah.
Who reads old books? Well, somebody does. Yeah? All right. We good? All right, then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Father, we ask, oh God, that you tie everyone's hands here into a covenant of prosperity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so, Father, I also use them as a point of contact to their children and
yes,
their children's
Lord.
Children.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I decree that none shall be poor.
Amen.
On the contrary, they shall be wise.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, you shall make them gatekeepers.
Amen.
They will become kingdom financiers.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so, Father, concerning them, Father, I rebuke the devourer.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I take authority over the spirit of waste and
Amen.
Wastage in
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, I release their creativity
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, I speak confidence, Father.
Amen.
I speak boldness, Father,
Amen.
Into the life of everyone here in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree that you'll be free to
Amen.
Become the man and the woman that God has called you to be.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree that you are influential.
Amen.
You are noticeable.
Amen.
You will be noticeable.
Amen.
Your works shall be mighty on this earth.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
We give you all the glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say,
Amen.
And the family say,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.